Attendance every Sunday. What a blessing it is to see so many out today. You know, 36 here I counted, and that's kind of over the barrier that we normally got. And that's wonderful. I see another door, and there comes 37. So that's great. We just love to have you all here anyhow. We got a beautiful speaker this morning, not only in personality, but in the Word. And we just thank the Lord for His fulfilling to be able to honor us with His ministry. I mean, I do welcome you so much today because, like I say, it is a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and be able to share in His life and His wisdom and His Word to be able to give us an avenue to lead us the way we should go. Any announcements pertaining to church? Wanda.
Merry Christmas. For anybody that's over 70, which I won't admit to that, but there's Christmas bags back here, and you have your name on them, so please check them out on the way out. And Dylan, there's one for you. I know you don't, you're not over 70.
I'm only a few years away.
But we normally give the pastor or preacher that we have that Sunday a gift, so we included you in.
Thank you.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you, Ladies Aids, for all the effort to put that together. Recognize us elders as we rust away. Any other announcements, please? Derek.
Just to let you know, I'm not sick. I just don't have a voice. So tonight, come out for our Christmas candlelight service. We do have a nice lineup along with a enjoyable speaker. So we do invite you all to come out. We start at 6:30 tonight. And I think you'll get the message, especially in song and word. So please come out and join us this evening.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, Dave.
Just a quick announcements. I still have calendars back there. I know you're tired of hearing about calendars, but I think I have 8 left. I'd like to see them go on. So they're $8 a calendar. Just see me. There's one back there. You can pay me for it. The cleaning schedule's up for the next 3 or 4 months. And this is the Sunday we're going to hand out Sunday school treats. Faye and Steve always graciously put them together for us, and, well, actually Sunday school treats, church treats as well, but anyway. So please go through the line, and what I do ask, though, go through the line first and get your treat. We see that everybody gets a treat. I think we should have plenty. Then if you want to go back and get for Johnny that was left at home or Susie that can't be here or whatever, then go back through and get again. We'll do it that way. Okay? Thanks.
And Deb, your calendars are underneath because I moved that because of the treats.
Oh, okay. The calendars are underneath, he says.
Thank you, Deb. Others, please. We had a couple nice love donations given to us this week, and I'll just tell you the names, but not the amount, because that's between them and God. So the first one is Darlene and James and the Baker family, and we're always gratified to have that come in. You know, the Baker family, I can't get away from them because I'm a part of them too, you know, and what a blessing that has been, really. And also Ronnie and Nancy sent in a nice check for us to go on. And we just praise you both for all the goodness, and may God continue to bless you fully as the day and the time goes on. Thank you. Any others?
Oh, reminder. Starting January, bring the canned soup in for Super Bowl. Okay? Every time you go to the grocery store, throw an extra can of soup in.
Thank you, Deb. Any more? If not, we'll look at our call to worship here. And it says, "For in Isaiah 9:6, forgive me, I didn't repeat that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Man, I think that about describes it. He's got us with the Prince of Peace right here this morning. Let us come to prayer, please. Oh, Father, we just thank you always for being with us. I know we all just need to trust in you, and you will do the rest. Oh, Father, your great love for all of us has made everything possible. So, Heavenly Father, just continue to help us and develop us in a healthy prayer life and a life that we can share with others as we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll have a hymn.
Hymn number 83. Please stand if you're able.
Father God, as we come in your behalf today in our fulfillment to be as your children and to recognize the services that is provided here, we know, Lord, that since we don't collect an offering, we do have a love box. And Father, that love box carries much to be able to develop the concerns and the repairs and the operation and the ministry of this church. So, Father, we ask that you would protect each and every hand that makes it possible. You know, many hands make light work, Heavenly Father. And so we just pray that the work would be light and we make our kindness and develop our donations into your box for your service here below. For it is, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we'll have the lighting of the Advent candle.
Today's candle, we light the love candle, and next week will be the Christ candle. Usually they do that on Christmas Eve, but we'll do it on Christmas morning. Our scripture comes today from John 3:16. Let us all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is probably the best known verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is flashed in ballparks. And we just had a pastor, which pastor was it that preached, that said about this gentleman that was in the stands? Brother Sam, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Larry Dentler.
Larry Dentler, that there was, the football player was on the field and John 3:16 was, kept flashing this John 3:16 and the football player kept saying, I always see this, what is it? Now, you may find it hard to believe that in this day and age, there be someone that doesn't know John 3:16, but let me assure you there are. So we should always be about spreading John 3:16. Anyway, he went to a player, a friend, and he said, John 3:16, what is this? Who is that? And he said, well, I think it's a verse out of the Bible. Well, that sign in the stadium led that football player to Christ and to give his life for Christ. So let's never take for granted that everybody knows John 3:16. So we should be about sharing.
Amen.
Okay. This is probably the best known verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is flashed in ballparks, memorized in Sunday school rooms. Why is it so beloved? Because it tells us about God's love. The reason for the Father sent his Son on Christmas Day. He gave us his one and only Son that Christmas morn. Why? Because he loved the world so much, not the physical globe, but the people whom he had created, struggling, confused, depressed, striving, and sinful. He loved them. He loves you. He loves us. That is why Jesus came. In the way Jesus relates to hurting people, we can see that love, that compassion, his gentle words when he said, my daughter, to the woman who he touched at the hem of his garment, the woman whom touched the hem of his garment. His encouragement to Peter, whom had betrayed him. Feed my sheep, Peter. I haven't given up on you. His compassion for the crowds whom he saw as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came on Christmas morn out of the Father's love, and in spite of persecution and crucifixion, even a history of saints and sinners inside and outside the church, his love for us is undiminished this Advent season. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your gift, your precious gift of your Son, Father. Father, you know only too well that hate, strife, sinfulness, those that are just down and out and depressed, you know that still continues on today. Mm-hmm. Father, if we just only had your love, your peace, your joy within each of us, we would all, it would be awesome, Father. So we just thank you for that gift of love.
so many, many, many years ago. And Father, we want you to know that we love you. We love the Son, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these favors and blessings. Amen.
Amen. Football game is time out. Gotta clean this spectacle. Can't see everything. Okay. How about joys and concerns? I know a lot of you got some of them. Everybody's in top shape. That's wonderful. Tammy.
Just want to continue to keep the Baker family, and my mom has some upcoming testing this week. So we just
the Baker family?
Yeah, and my mom has upcoming tests this week, a lung procedure test. Keep her in your prayers.
Traveling mercies for Colton. He came home safe and sound. He was in that ugly weather the other day. He was late arriving, but he made it. And it's a joy to see Izzy back here. She always brings a breath of fresh air into the old folks. And I just would like to keep Alice's friend George in our prayers. He has been weeks. He has still not gotten a bed, and now he's on 3 hospital waiting lists, and he still has not gotten in to have his procedure done. So let's please ask the Lord for guidance and ask him to open up a room. He only all too well knows there was no room in the inn, and this time there's no room in the hospital. So let's just ask him to open a room for George.
Wouldn't it have been a privilege, Joe, to be in the stable that night? Wouldn't it have been a privilege?
Wonderful.
I think about that many times over.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, a lot of people had to go to the hospital to have birth given. But there she was in the straw, in the hay. I don't know how much more closer to the heart it could get. Bless her. Any others, please?
Joys, these are joys, but also keep them in prayer. My friend Velma that I've talked about, she went back for her CAT scan on her cancer, and there's no more sign of cancer. She said she has to still be on the prayer list, but praise God for that. The other one is my cousin Wanda. She went for more testing as well. Her cancer is still there, but the tumors are small, they have not grown or spread, so she's waiting on some more test results, but keep her also in prayer. And then I'd like to keep all the unspoken.
Okay.
Let's keep Buddy in our prayers. He has surgery tomorrow on his back. And there's 2 young boys, I think it's a 7-year-old and a 14-year-old boy from the Thurmont area. Both got diagnosed with cancer this week, so they're in prayer with the families also.
2 boys?
2 boys, yes. One of them, his mom grew up over in the corner. He's a Stein now, but she was an Ethanrode, right, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
And the other little boy is in Thurmont, the 7-year-old.
And they had diagnosed with cancer?
Yes, and one is terminal cancer, and the other one, they think they can help them.
Thank you. Others, please? Bradley.
I want to remember my brother Bill with his cancer issue, and for Woody, they're still taking chemo for his. And for all those who are struggling with cancer,
keep our country in our prayers. Issues and so forth that's taking place, and not only our country, but the world as a whole, because of the things that's going on, places such as Ukraine and etc. Now they're faced with the winter weather, and which is another issue that they have to struggle with. So we just pray, Father, that you reach out to each and every one of them, and each and every one of us here in our church, and each and every one in the whole world.
Okay, thank you. Danny.
Just me and Kathy on the prayer list, and then also Caleb on his deployment and all of our military.
Okay, any more, please? I got one here from she does the Sunday school.
David Jeremiah.
Karen.
Oh, man. I'm losing it, folks. Forgive me. But anyhow, she had a prayer request for Carol and Darlene. I don't know them, but the Lord does. And for Ben's grandfather, Jerry. So she requested that we announce that, and you make note of it, please. And we'll pick it up from there as the Lord hears it.
Brother, I forgot one more person. Wayne Moser's wife, Nancy. She was Nancy Buller. And she had a procedure this week. Matter of fact, it was on Thursday. Today was bad weather. She had to take her down to Washington, I believe it was. But everything went real well. Thank the good Lord. We need to keep her in our prayers.
Okay. Thank you. Any others, please? If not, let us come before the Lord in prayer. If you see fit, you can sit, kneel, lean over, just whatever feels comfortable to you. Oh, Father, as we come to you in this season, our hearts are filled with joy because we know that the Blessed One was born and it came to live and to share his life with us so that we could do away with the many mistakes that we make. And Father, we are so gratified that if he wouldn't have come, we'd have been in trouble because the forgiveness comes through him for us to gauge, to reach the eternal gates, where St. Peter had got a close watch. So, Father, we're just so grateful for that opportunity that you gave and for the safety that you made possible to arrange everything. So, Father, you are strong. You are the one. You are the ultimate that knows each and every moment and everything. So, Father, as we are here again, Father, we come to you from the joys and sorrows and the laughters and the tears of this week and all times. Oh, Father, sometimes in our struggles of the soul, you seem so far away. Momentarily, oh Lord, we look at the storms and the problems instead of the Almighty. Lord Jesus, forgive us, Heavenly Father, of our doubts. And grant us the continued peace and hope and encouragement. Oh, Father, just take our hand and lead us on the oath that leads to heaven and to home. Oh, Father, now, as we've reached that time to bring out the others that was lifted on the prayer concerns, oh, Heavenly Father, you don't know how what's on here and what to do about it. But look, let's lift up your name, Lord, so that it will be verbally recognized to you. Heavenly Father, we think of the Baker family and Deb for their many situations and problems that we have, but we know you are there. Oh, Father, we look at Colton and his travel mercies, continuing home from college. Father, we know that Alice has a friend named George, and he's been waiting in the waiting to get in the hospital. So, Father, we just know that the struggles of life in that situation and enduring the pain in between is not easy. So be there with them. And Velma, and Wanda, and the unspoken of Jerry's friends, oh, Father, we just release our hearts to you to allow those to receive the blessing of healing in their bodies. Father, we think of Buddy Stover as he goes tomorrow for back surgery. Father, I understand it's an in and out, so we just pray that all would go well at that moment, and he would be strengthened and be cured of the pain that he has to have. Father God, we also think of the two young men that has developed cancer and thermal. I tell you, we get it sometimes, but we don't know we have it until many years down the road. Thank God for his care in them and in me. Oh, Father God, we think of Phil and Woody and others as, you know, they have struggles to get through this life. You know the struggles are tough. They're just hard to understand, and they almost beat you up a lot of times. But, Father, we just know as you lay your hand or even your little finger upon one and all who are struggling, there will be satisfaction, there will be a cure, there will be help, there will be movement, and praise you. And Father, our country and our leaders, it's just not going in the right direction, Lord. Help to put the brakes on what's taking place and let our lives get back to a little bit of peace and understanding. Oh, Father, just touch each and every one in our country here, in our leadership, and worldwide, where many troubles is. You can see, Father, in the other countries where they've taken Jesus and the Word out of their community offerings of trying to connect. You can see where the devil has set in and took over so much. So, Father, we don't need that here in the United States, but I believe there is things moving in that direction. So, Father, change it, please. Tear up the sign and let us turn the corner. Oh, Father, the Danny and Kathy and Caleb, each one of us has multiple listings of the body that just isn't working well. So, Father, we just need you to prevail upon us and give us the strength to endure. And there's Nancy Bollinger. Moser is her last name now. We went to school with her, Father. She's a good lady. We just pray that you would touch her in a very special way and give her the strength to endure and allow her wing to be further and close once again. Father God, we also look at the prayer book in the back of the church. As we walk past, sometimes we forget. But there are many names in there that just need to be lifted up, Father, and only you know how to do it. And Father, we think of the directory as well. How all the names in there, the memberships and the duties prevail here to make it work. We just lift you up, Father, for that encouragement, that endeavor, that strength to do it all in your will. Oh, Father, we are grateful for each and every moment in this season again for giving us the strength to be positive and to measure our lives in a true and faithful way. So, Father, now, as we come to an end to this prayer, we ask it, we can lift you up in your most holy prayer, as we all would say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but lead us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Number 93, please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
scripture text here this morning. We're coming from 2 Timothy 2, 11-13. I must say, Dylan's been kind in keeping the scripture small. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate that. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, we also will deny us. He will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. And this time, we have Brother Dylan here to complete the morning service. Thank you, Brother Dylan.
Thank you, Brother. Back in 2007, the country music duo Brooks and Dunn recorded a song titled God Must Be Busy. Verses are filled with concerns of the world that we hear about repeatedly on the news. War, lost jobs, natural disaster, backed up traffic, an abducted child, gang violence, murder, and overpriced necessary medication for the elderly. All these are mentioned in the song, with the only relief being that the abducted child is found. And the chorus goes as such. And I know in the big picture, I'm just a speck of sand. And God's got better things to do than look out for one man. And I know he's heard my prayers, because he's heard everything. He just ain't answered back, or he'd bring you back to me. God must be busy. Have you ever felt that way? You know, we always throw around the words, it's on his timing. We say he hears our prayers. But I ask you if you've ever felt this way, because I know I have. God, are you busy right now? I know you hear me, but I'm not seeing anything happen. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling you in my life. I see this stuff on the news. God, why would you let this happen? Okay, God, maybe it's just your timing. But are we just trying to buy God time with that? You see, his timing in looking out for you is partially on a different time schedule. His timing was, in fact, before you were ever born, unless anyone in here is 2,000 years old, which I don't think anyone in this room is. You see, 2,000 years ago, it was Advent season that we're celebrating in preparation for Christmas with this baby that was born in a manger. This baby that was born fully God and fully man, of a virgin, to grow up through this life, to go through similar things that we would have went through. I mean, this young baby had to grow up into a man. He didn't just be born in a manger. And yes, in the Bible, you flip the page and it goes from the baby in the manger to now he's an adult. But he had to live through that life. And I'm almost 30 at this point. And I could say those years of about 10 through where I'm at now have been quite entertaining and quite interesting with quite a bit of struggles. So I don't think Jesus growing up was excluded from any of that. Had his own fair share. And one thing I've noticed recently in reading is that when we get to Jesus' adult life and his ministry, we hear about his mother Mary, but we don't hear about Joseph. What happened to Joseph? Where is he? We don't have any account in Scripture of what happened. And we can play any number of scenarios in our minds about what happened to Joseph. And I don't think a single one of those would have been easy for a child, a teenager, or a young man to go through. Whatever led to Joseph not being in the picture in Jesus' adult life and ministry. And in this ministry, Jesus would really set the record straight on what it meant to be connected to God. Really draw forth some of the misconceptions that have been led by the Jewish leaders at that time and really set things straight. This is what God wants from you in your life. And you know what? You can't do that on your own. So Jesus would be accused of blasphemy for being called the Son of God, for claiming to be the Son of God, which he is. He would be tortured, crucified on the cross, laid in a tomb. That tomb would be found empty 3 days later. all that done for you. All that done for you. You see, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 tells that he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed. You see, Jesus growing up from this baby to the adult man that he became, and going through that torture, being crucified on the cross, that was the payment for your sins 2,000 years ago. Jesus went through that for you. You see, as the Son of God, as the one who did not sin, he was able to make that perfect sacrifice for sin. That perfect sacrifice that has been needed since Genesis chapter 3. He did that for you 2,000 years ago. Because you see in Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14, we know that we were dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of our flesh. And God made us alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we come to God and we say, you know, I can't do this on my own. When we say, okay, God, whether or not you're busy, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I know I am too busy and I do not have it all together to figure this life out. I'm not enough. I can't do this on my own. God, I need some help. God, I want to be close to you again. God, I know there's something better in store. I want that, Lord. I want that. Come to my son. You see, you accept Jesus as your Savior. You acknowledge that Jesus took all your sins, all your mistakes, all your heartaches, all your pain, and that he bore that on the cross when he got nailed to it. You accept that and you say that. Guess what? You're accepting that you yourself have died because you are trusting in the life that Jesus has. Because you see, when that tomb was found empty, it wasn't because someone stole the body. It's because Jesus himself rose from the grave. See, there are many eyewitness testimonies of the resurrected Savior standing amongst people. Thousands who have witnessed this. Way beyond what can just be made up. The people who went to the grave, being persecuted for this, never wavering. This is the one time when a single religious belief held true every single time. The ones who truly believe have not gone on and refuted their claim. They've accepted they themselves are dead without Jesus. They themselves are dead without him. And that they have been nailed to the cross in their sins. See, in Galatians 2, 19 through 20, we read that for through the law, I died to the law. You see, in our sin, we are dead. In our sin, we are nothing without. We are nothing. But we died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This life I live is nothing without Jesus. This life I live cannot be handled on my own. I can't do this on my own. I've been there. I tried to do it on my own. And guess what? It doesn't work. I accepted that I needed Jesus. That I really needed God to work in my life fully. I needed him wholeheartedly. I said, Jesus, all right, fine. Yes, I know what you've done. Without you, I am dead to rights. I have nothing. This life is nothing without you. So I give my life to him and realize that all my sin, all my heartache, all my pain has been nailed to the cross so that I might have a new life. A new life with him. You see, as he rose from the grave and left that tomb empty, in the same way, so will you. Rise up. we rise up in new life. So yes, the saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. But living with him ain't easy. It's not easy. See, that passage I read from 1 Peter, the verses before that, say, verses 20 through 23, if you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? Well, if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. See, when you endure, when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. Just as Jesus Christ suffered for us, just as he went through his own pain and agony, not just in the everything he went through in his ministry of being denied, being accused of everything, being spat on. You know, and then when he was actually tortured and beaten beyond recognition, he went through that. And then when he actually died, he took on the wrath of God when he went to the grave. All the things that Jesus went through, that Christ suffered for you. He left you an example of endurance. Well, why do I have to endure if Jesus went through that? Why do I have to go through it? He already went through it, right? Well, Jesus warned us in John 16, 32 through 33. The hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world. Jesus said that in the world we will face persecution. You see, for accepting him, we're going to be looked at as different. You know, for trying to do the right thing, you're going to be looked at as different. How many times have we heard the saying, nice guys finish last? They say that all the time. You're too nice. You're going to get walked over. You're going to get taken advantage of. You're crazy for believing this whole Jesus nonsense. How can you believe such a thing? People are going to look down on you. People are going to accuse you. People are going to look down on you and just treat you like you're nothing because of this. They're going to think you're weak. And yes, they will try and take advantage of your kindness. You're going to go through it. You're going to face it. And you know what? This life ain't easy. Aside from all of that, we heard our prayer list. We still have to deal with all these things. We still have to deal with this life that makes us wonder if God's really busy. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's saying, yoke up with me. Walk beside me. Walk with me arm in arm. If you feel like you're getting dragged down, guess what? I'm going to hold you up, he says. If you're getting distracted by this life and feel like you're stumbling and you can't pick your feet up, if you're just dragging along, he says, I'll pick you up. I'll carry you on. Let's keep pushing forward. Let's keep going on. Endure with me, my child, he says. Endure with me. Keep going. You are strong enough because guess what? He says, I live in you. Remember, if we've died with him, we also live with him. So if we've accepted him and we have died with him and we're living with him, guess what? His strength is within us. And what happens? See, in Revelation 20, there's a promise given. And I saw the thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. And I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. And over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. Those of us who have, you know, died with him so that we may live with him and acknowledge that this life is not easy, but we're going to endure with him because of the strength that he gives us. Guess what? The saying is sure. The saying is faithful. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We will also reign with him. And the Christian can only lose those gifts of life and priesthood through one thing now. There is one thing. There's this thing called the unforgivable sin. And I really like what Lee Strobel, author of The Case for Christ and some other amazing books, wrote on this from his Investigating Faith newsletter. If you're worried that you may be guilty of the unforgivable sin, you almost certainly are not. Rick Cornish aptly points out in his book, 5-Minute Theologian. Concern about committing it reveals the opposite attitude of what the sin is. Those who might be guilty wouldn't care because they have no distress or remorse over the possibility. Jesus talked about the unforgivable sin in Matthew 12:31-32. And I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven then, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Let's face it, that is a very sobering teaching, but let's put it into context. Note that Jesus didn't address his comments to disciples or a mere crowd. He was talking specifically to Pharisees who had personally witnessed the miracle of completely and instantly healing a blind and mute, demon-possessed man in Matthew 12:22. Rather than acknowledging the obvious fact that Jesus was exercising divine powers, the Pharisees were so spiritually depraved that they attributed his power to Satan in verse 24. Their problem was not blind ignorance, but willful rejection, pointed out Cornish. That deliberate refusal to believe, even though knowing the truth, seems to be what Jesus called the unforgivable sin. As the Quest Study Bible puts it, Jesus gave the solemn warning in these verses to people whose hard-heartedness placed them on the brink of disaster. Blasphemy against the Spirit evidently is not just a one-time offense. Rather, it is an ongoing attitude of rebellion, a stubborn way of life that continually rejects, resists, and insults the Holy Spirit. This is what makes it, in effect, an eternal sin, Mark 3:29. Blasphemy against the Spirit is not unforgivable because of something done unintentionally in the past, but because of something being done deliberately and unrelentingly in the present. So if you're an authentic Christian, don't spend time fretting over whether you've been accidentally committed this unforgivable offense. There's no biblical evidence that genuine Christians can commit this unforgivable sin, says the Apologetic Study Bible. Fear that one has done so is probably a good sign that one hasn't. For full-fledged apostasy is a defiant rejection of everything Christian and lacks a tender conscience that would be worried about such an action, end quote. You see, this persistent and relentless and determined denial of the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ placed the sinner in a position of rejection by God, where you continually refute and deny the ability of Jesus to actually die for your sins, where you completely refute the idea that you can endure with his help, that you will reign with him, where you continually deny that God exists, where you continually deny what the Holy Spirit does, and you just deny it all. That is when God denies. Because the word Paul used for denial can also be defined as contradict or disavow. So yes, the saying is sure. If we deny him, He will also deny us. On the verse 13. Some translations use faithless for verse 13. The Granddaddy King James Version uses the phrase, if we believe not. Paul uses the word apostasia, which can be understood as a struggle to believe. Whereas God's faithfulness in this verse can also be translated as trustworthiness. Think of verses 11 and 12, these three sayings that we've already gone through as promises of God. If we die with him, he promises we will live with him. If we endure, he promises we will reign with him. If we deny him, he assures us that he will deny us. But in this last verse, we see that even if we struggle with our belief in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God still remains true to his promises. When your faith is wavering, or even when it's developing, guess what? He is faithful to you. His timing was not just 2,000 years ago. His timing is even now. You might wonder if God is busy. You might wonder if God is doing something else. But I encourage you to look on your life and see the places that he has been. Because I look back on my life, and so many times when I was not open, my eyes were not open to seeing how God was moving in my life. Now I look back, I'm like, wait a minute. The only reason why I got through this is through God. The only reason why I got this job, which led to this change in my life, was because of God. The only reason why eventually I'll meet the woman who is now my wife is because of God. Some crazy things that he did in my life to put me there. Started him saying that you're going to be standing behind the pulpit one day. God's a crazy person for putting me here. I got to say that. But all these little things that God has done in my life, I look back and I'm like, God, you have been here the entire time. I never saw you. I always said, God, why aren't you here? God, why aren't you doing something? God, what are you doing right now? And I look back and I'm like, wait, what am I talking about? God was there. God has been there. I was talking to a friend of mine recently who's kind of new to the faith. You know, he'd grown up being told, yeah, you're a Christian. Even though he'd never been to church, he was told, yeah, you're a Christian. Yeah, your parents are, so you are too. And he told me the other week, he said, you know, ever since I started asking these questions about this, I can't get away from it. Every time I turn around, I get in the car, there's a preacher on the radio. I hear a song, and I hear something about God in the song. It's not even a Christian song. I'm talking to someone, they bring this up. I hear a sermon, and a couple days later in my life, I rehear these words from the sermon again. I can't get away from it. Have you ever felt that way, where you just can't seem to get away from it? See, the closer you get to him, the more you realize, I can't get away from you, God. You're here all the time. You're hearing it all. I may not know what you're doing, but I know you're not busy, because I see you in my life. Think about that parable, the prodigal son with the father. You know, the son, he thinks he has everything together, so he says, Dad, give me my inheritance. I want to go live my life. So his dad goes ahead, and, you know, all right, fine, I haven't died yet, but sure, here's your half of the estate. Go do your thing right now. So he goes off, lives his life quite recklessly, blows it all in Vegas, so to speak, and realizes, I got nothing. Takes the lowest job he can find on the pole. The lowest job. Say, I really have nothing. And it says he came to his senses. And maybe if I go back and work for Dad, if I go back, he'll hire me. And I can make some money and I won't have to keep eating pig slop. So he goes back. We read the father saw him from a long way off. And went running. You see, for the father to see him a long way off, the father was not busy doing something else. The father was watching and waiting and ready. You see, him wasting away his father's inheritance in this day and age when Jesus told the story, if you did that, the people in town could have had you stoned. It was a punishable offense of death, what he had done. And the father ran out, put his robe on him, gave him the family ring and said, you know, you're part of the family. And no, you don't have to work for me. Come in, enjoy the feast that I'm going to prepare for you. Welcome home, my son. Because you see, as I say, if you're developing your faith, if you're growing in your faith, and you're not sure what God is doing in your life, guess what? He is watching you this whole time. He is watching you, guiding you forward, putting things in your path to get you where you need to be. And where you're at now, if you feel like he's distant from you, you're distant from him. You're walking the other way. But I assure you, he's watching you walk. He's saying, come on back. Come on back. If I have to give you a flat tire for someone to come help you on the side of the road, I'll do it. I'll give you that flat tire so you see someone's love and servitude. It's happened. It's happened. Just like that football player shared about. Saw a sign. If I have to put a random sign in a football stand for you to come to me, I'll do it. Whatever I have to do, God says. That is God's love. You see, Romans 5:8 tells us that he proves his love for us. And that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He keeps calling you back. He keeps remaining trustworthy to you. Even in your struggle with belief, to remind you what Christ has done for you. And from 1 John, God's love was revealed to us among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God. And God abides in them. You see, even as we struggle with our belief. Even if we waver, the whole time God is abiding in you. Mm-hmm. Continually reminding you and calling you in. Say, hey, remember my promise. If you die with my son, you live with us. And if you endure, guess what? You're going to reign. Just don't deny me. Because I don't want to deny you. I love you. And I want you to reign. The faithful one. So yes, the saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let us pray. God, we're so grateful for your son. Your son who would grow up to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Die on the cross and take our sins there with him. And raise himself from the grave. Show us that the grave has no power. And to ascend again, so that we may have the Holy Spirit as our guide, that he may return again. Oh, we know he will. What a wonderful day that will be. What a wonderful day. God, continue guiding and directing us in this life. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Even when we struggle and we stumble, you're still advocating for us. You're still rooting for us. You're still in our corner, Lord. And we thank you. It is your conviction and your guidance that keeps us true. May we not lose sight of that. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Turn to hymn number 148. Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
watchful care of the faithful one who is ever compassionate to each and every one of his children. Here we go.